You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Friday, a meat Friday chicken pot pie on the Traeger. Also a blueberry pie that Todd will smash into his face coming up a little bit later on. By the way, Todd, we made him as part of the punishment because he lost a bet to one of our listeners who said Washington would make the playoffs. Todd took the bet. And Todd was given the task of actually making the pie that he will smash into his face. And we made it pretty simple for you. I mean, you already had the pie crust there. You just had to put the blueberries in and put some whipped cream on it.
A couple of simple steps.
Todd nearly lost his thumb trying to open up. And how long did it take you to actually open up the can?
What should have taken 10 to 15 seconds took a flirting with 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
Todd, you're underplaying that. It took you 7 minutes to open a can with a can opener. It was, Dan, it was fascinating, and there's no joking involved. Todd was shaking. He was trying to figure it out. He's blaming the can opener and the can.
They had some kind of lock on it. You had to, like, press some kind of button to, like, unlock it. I didn't realize you have to lock a can opener.
It was like, you know, you ever drive in Europe, you know, and you get in the car and everything, you're on the wrong side of the road or the, and you're like, I'm very uncomfortable. Todd using any type of machinery looks like us driving.
I was getting very frustrated. I got about a third of the way there, then a quarter, halfway there, and then I gave up and I just started scooping the blueberries out while the metal was still blocking half of the can at the top.
But then I also noticed that you, and I didn't say anything. I left the man cave, but I'm just curious if, as long as you didn't burn down anything, then I was okay. And then I realized that you had this pie in there at 350, and you went in to take it out with your hands and no oven mitts.
I'd like to say that was a bravery, but it was cluelessness on my part that the tray would actually be very hot. And if Poi didn't stop me, I would have had probably some bad burns on my hands. It would have been an emergency room situation.
You would have burned your hands.
Oh, totally. I would have had to get skin grafting and stuff.
All right. We're going to have videos up on Peacock later today. Later this morning. All right. 877-3DP show email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DP Show. You can watch on Peacock all 3 hours, and you can also listen on our close to now 400 radio stations around America. Playoffs are when young NFL players make a name for themselves, or the star takes the next step to become a superstar. You know, Josh Allen earned his way into the MVP conversation this year. Now he's got a big game against the Colts this weekend. You get to that next level, and that, as the quarterback, that's where you make a name for yourself. That's when we start talking about legacy. Lamar Jackson turned 24 this week. He has a chance to change the narrative that he can't win a big game. I know it's unfair to go, he's 24, he's got plenty of time. Josh Allen. You got a lot of people now jumping on the Bills bandwagon that they could be the team that knocks off the Kansas City Chiefs. But they got the Colts coming up this weekend. This is one of those, the Colts have a very good defense. They've run the football. It comes down to Phillip Rivers. If Phillip Rivers acts like a Hall of Famer, now you got something interesting here. Or Buffalo is off just a little bit, and you don't have that home field advantage. McLovin, what's the weather supposed to be like in Buffalo for the domed Indianapolis Colts?
31 and
is it
no
windy?
Rain. No, I didn't see the wind. It's definitely not rainy. I'll see if there's wind.
Yeah, that would be what I'm curious about. Because it's one thing to have cold weather, but when it's windy up there, then it's a little bit different. But that's where the ground game comes in handy. And you got Jonathan Taylor. Baltimore's got J.K. Dobbins. David Montgomery with Chicago. We certainly know what you have with Derrick Henry. You know, the running games will be important. I think the running attack for the Rams against Seattle will be important. I think Seattle's running game will be really important here. Yeah, McLovin.
No wind in Buffalo. According 8% chance, like not bad at all.
Okay.
So that, you know, if the Colts can run Jonathan Taylor early and sort of, this sounds so dumb, but if they get a lead, are they okay? Like, you see, you don't want Phillip Rivers winning it, I was thinking. I looked at that, I was like, can Phillip Rivers do this?
What's the line on that game?
6.5, I believe. Yeah. We're going to double check that.
You know, I started to look at some of the lines from last year, entertainment purposes only. The Saints were favored over the Vikings by 7.5. Vikings won 26-20. Patriots were favored by 4.5 over the Titans. Titans won 20-13. Strange things happen. And certainly wild card weekend, and we got, you know, extra games here. You got the Packers and the Chiefs waiting to see what happens here when the smoke clears for the following week. But I know we always look at these games, it feels like, and you go, well, the favorites are going to win. It's different this year because of uncertainty at the quarterbacking position, no home field advantage. You got the Browns without their head coach. Michael Thomas is just coming back. Taysom Hill recovering from a concussion. Alex Smith, we don't even know if he's going to play. Jared Goff, I assume he's going to play. That's why I think it's really, it's interesting. I'm glad I don't bet anymore. And I did. And I was a big gambler. But I and Seton is trying to learn how to gamble.
Yeah.
And I just, it. This is the gateway. This is a gateway drug here. You start with a little, you know, three-team parlay. Next thing you know, you're mortgaging your house.
Yeah, 2021 so far starting out to be the year of vices for me. I'm picking them up daily.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yes, boy.
And I don't know whether to help Seton or not because I don't think it's helping him. He's like, I'm giving or getting or laying points.
Wait a minute. So if you're plus eight, that means you're losing?
Is Washington obtaining points? Are they getting points?
Oh,
but then he's like, I'm just going to bet on what you pick. I'm like, don't do that.
Yeah, why don't I just use my money on your picks?
Oh, my God. I don't want him betting. I want him faux betting to
somehow,
start.
But Bears money line is something that's in my picks, which is...
So you take the Bears straight up.
Straight up.
So if you put up a hundy, then you're going to make 375.
Let's go.
Okay.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Yes.
Remind you this on Monday. What were you thinking? All right. Maybe you guys could have a little contest, though, because I don't want to be involved in it. Like, I hate making predictions prior to March Madness or my Super Bowl pick. Like, I hate it. It brings back memories of... I never enjoyed the wins. I just hate, you know, that losing, that feeling. There's nothing worse than you're writing a check to your bookie or giving money to your bookie on that Monday morning, and you go, okay, I got to give that and the VIG. So I didn't lose just $1,500. You know, I got to tack on, you know, $150 more.
There's a VIG?
Yes. Well, no, if you go through a bookie, the juice is what they call it. But, oh, God. And my bookie lived right around the corner from me. And I'd go there, and he had this light blue Lincoln Continental 3.
Yeah, and you paid for it.
Yeah, some of it. Some of it. But that's where you had the big spare tire in the back, and this car was beautiful. Every time I'd pull into his driveway, I'd curse because I know that I was paying for, you know, one of those or a couple of those car payments. Yes, Tom.
Were you ever in a situation where I promise I'll get it to you by Friday and some shady character comes to your door saying
no.
That he knows where your children are and everything?
But if you, when I think back, I mean, I was really young. I was careless because I thought I was smarter than the bookies. And even now where I have a lot more information and a lot more sources, I still wouldn't want to bet because I didn't enjoy it. I just thought I could make money. I did it to make money. I did not enjoy it at all. And I did make money eventually. I made over $6,000. But the last bet I made was on the Orange Bowl, and I lost $3,000. And then the juice, I lost $3,300. I closed up shop. I didn't place another bet.
Aren't you up $2,700 for your career then, if I did the math right?
Well, no, I had $9,000.
Oh.
So
You're up $9,000 and you gave back.
I was up a little over $9,000. I think I was up.
That's hard to do.
I was up $9,400.
That's impressive.
And then I dropped. Well, it got to the point where, you know, I was killing it. My bookie wanted to know, like, he would pass my bets on to the guy who would eventually be taking Pete Rose's bets because my bookie, you know, was a little nervous when I would call in. I was killing it with the NFL. And then all of a sudden, you know, I started to find out that my bookie is working with Pete Rose's bookie. And I thought, that's not good company to be in.
As a Reds fan, isn't that an honor back
yeah.
then? You must have been like...
Yeah. Hey, Pete and I are betting through the same bookie. And then I realized when I got to ESPN and we started that investigation of Pete Rose, I just called my bookie. I said, can you give me an idea of the frequency of Pete's betting? And he said, yeah, you know, we got this and this and this, and he'd always bet on this, and then he would be down this. And, you know, so I started to get sort of the ledger here, the spreadsheet here on what Pete was doing. And that's why, you know, I knew that they had him dead to rights. Yeah, Paul.
We bet a lot of college football and college basketball in college, and I had a the guy at a couple fraternity houses over was taking the bets for a bigger bookie up in Chicago, and we all knew him. He's a good guy, and I had a weekend where I went 0-for-8 on college football, and he actually called my room and goes, he goes, hey, dude. I'm like, hey. He goes, I go, I'll get you the money tomorrow. I'm like, nobody. He goes, no. He goes, I've never had anyone go 0-for-8 on a day. He goes, you know how hard it is to go 0-for when you make 8 bets? He was like calling to chastise me and laugh at me. He goes, I'm going to, 0-for-8 is tough to do. You always pick off one.
Well, and it would always, if you lost on college, then you'd go pro. And then if you lost pro, then you double up on Monday Night Football. And it was just not a good process there. Not at all. Yes, McLovin.
By the way, I'm still a little scared of your bookie with the light blue Lincoln. Like, I saw Goodfellas. I know who drives light blue Lincolns.
Yeah.
Like, there, you don't have to go many levels below to see who's funding this operation.
No, this guy was an upstanding citizen in the community.
Well, he was a bookie. What do you mean he was an upstanding citizen?
No, he had a regular job.
But who do you think funds bookies behind bookies? Even the regular bookies are eventually connected.
I don't know if he's still doing it. The last time I talked to him was probably 1989 when we were at ESPN investigating Pete Rose. And that was it. I called him out of the blue. And I said, hey. He goes, yeah. And he thought I wanted to put down some action. I go, nope. I'm just calling, you know, I got this job. I work in sports, and we're investigating Pete Rose. Yeah, McLovin.
I think the guy bought a light blue Lincoln after they robbed Lufthansa in Goodfellas. And showed up and De Niro yelled at him. Am I?
What are you walking around with a fur coat for? I thought we were hiding our money.
The Steelers-Browns game is fascinating because I don't know what to expect from either team. When you think about it, with a team without their head coach, you got a Pittsburgh team that has been inconsistent, and they seem to play down to the opposition's level. Yes, Eden.
You want to take the Steelers given the points, though. it's a fairly confident play.
What is the line? 4.5? 5? What do you got, McLovin?
I saw it move up. Hold on. It started out pretty low, and now it is 6.5.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there's no coach. I feel like we're underestimating that?
There's a coach. They're just not their normal head coach.
Joel Bitonio? I don't know.
I mean, it's...
But Mason Rudolph almost beat them in a must-win situation last week. That game was close, which makes me scared.
I don't know. Strange things happen. Here is Juju Smith-Schuster, who just can't keep his mouth shut. And the question is in here before his answer.
Do you feel like this Browns team has a different vibe, a more successful vibe than what you've seen in the past from them?
Nah, I think they're still the same Browns team I play every year. I think they're nameless, great faces. Yes, they have a couple good players on their team, but at the end of the day, like, it's the Browns, it's the Browns. I'm just happy we're playing them again, you know, this Sunday.
You know, if you're Mike Tomlin, you put your arm around Juju Smith-Schuster and just say, hey, no more dancing on logos. How about we talk about, you know, say nice things about the opposition? How about you catch like 10 balls, don't drop any? How about something like that? Now you have Baker Mayfield. Here's Baker Mayfield. And he talking about not having a head coach, their regular head coach, Kevin Stefanski, in this game.
Just adapt and play. I mean, it's win or go home. So it's whoever we have out there, we're counting on them. And we believe in those people that are out there. So, you know, we're still having to adjust and adapt. But just like last week, it's hitting the curveball and adjusting each day.
All right. Oh, he's right. I mean, that's what you have to do. It's kind of plain and simple, straightforward. But, yeah, it's just it's an odd feeling I have. And I remember having these feelings where I used to call in. There was a guy called the professor, and it was a tout line. So I had to pay, like, I think $50 for a tip. And then you would call in, and then you'd wait. It'd be like 12:52, 12:53. Got to get my game in before 1 o'clock. What's the game? What's the game? And then they'd give you the game. And I'd go, what? And what I later found out is there are certain tout services that will give half of their subscribers one side and then half the other. Because they get paid either way. And therefore, you're always ensuring that half of your audience, half of your subscription base is going to be happy. Like, wait a minute. What? Yeah, Paul.
This sounds like every betting show on every sports network right now. One of the hosts says, I'll take the Browns. One of them says, they take the Steelers. And they all end up being 5-1 on the weekend.
Yeah.
They never mention when they're 1-5.
Yes, McLovin.
I read a theory that if you took every betting expert and you bet against them consistently, you'd win 54% of the time.
Yeah.
Does that ring true? I feel like experts tend to get the things wrong.
Well, even those who are really good, if you're really good, then, you know, that's all you're doing. That's all you need to do. And you're really rich. But it's not easy. You know, that's. When somebody says, oh, man, I'm killing it. Okay. You might be killing it now, and then eventually it's going to kill you. It's like blackjack. There are times when you go, man, I am killing it. And then the next thing you know, you've lost 7 consecutive hands. Yes, Todd.
But on a larger scale, all you got to do is look at Vegas as the perfect example. They're constantly building newer, fancier things. They're not taking down stuff. They're not destroying the strip because they're losing all this money. They're going to find a way. That's why we're always amazed. How did they get it so right, the over-under or the point spread? That scares you a little bit. Not fixed. I won't go that far. But someone knows something a lot more than the average person.
Well, their job depends on it. We have jobs. We have regular jobs. And then you'll bet as a hobby, casually. That's what these people do in Vegas. That's all they do in Vegas. It's not like they go, hey, I work on cars, and then on the weekend I set the line at Caesars. That's all they do. Now, there are times when they miss badly, but the number of times when they hit, then you realize, you know, the sharps, that's why they're called the sharps. Yeah, Paul.
I found a couple analytics articles. If you're a constant bettor, a daily bettor, you have to, if you are 52.5% on your bets, over 50%, you're going to break even because of the juice.
Yeah.
So, but you have to get to like 55% plus betting regularly to make money as a bettor, at least 54, 55%.
And guys who just want to bet and because they watch a game and they'll go, it's Jacksonville against Houston. Yeah, I'm going to put a couple of dollars on it. I never needed incentive to watch a game, but there are guys who do that, and they'll go, yeah. And then all of a sudden you go, hey, you lost that game. You know what? Yeah, I'm going to bet on something. Like, it just starts, and then all of a sudden it snowballs here. Do you guys have a consensus pick? You know, let me take a break. So the Danettes are entering the world of gambling. And I will stress to this audience, do not bet on the Danettes picks. Maybe bet against them. Yes, Todd.
You're actually telling them to bet against whatever we've picked.
You guys can get together during the break, and then you can pick one game with the line, and then we'll see how that. Now, are you guys going to put up money? Are you putting money together? Like, if there's nothing at stake, then I don't want to bore the audience with this. Like, Fritzy's got to take a pie to the face today because he, you know, bet against Washington making the playoffs. If this is just, hey, we're going to get the betting line and pick, I don't care. How about each guy puts in 100?
I'm in.
Seton's in?
What are we betting, one game?
Yeah, you're picking one game. 100. Paulie places the bet.
Why do we do a parlay with all our picks?
Oh, here we go.
Really good.
Okay, could someone explain that part to me?
Yeah, you don't. Okay. It just made it tougher. You don't want to do a parlay.
A parlay is when you have balloons and cake.
Yes.
And you get presents.
Yeah.
A parlay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. All right. Let me take a break here. Let me talk to you guys during the break, okay? Let me just talk to you. Oh, God. This brings back bad memories. 20 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The Dunder Mifflin family has found a new home. The Office, streaming now exclusively on Peacock. Whether you know every quote or you're newbie to Scranton, you can stream every episode again and again and again. Sign up at Peacock TV, peacocktv.com to stream now. What is the poll question, McLovin? Then we'll get to the consensus bet that you guys are going to put all of your money on this weekend.
Well, the poll question actually informs our bet, possibly. Which game would you think is the most likely blowout? And I gave the choices Bucks, Washington, Bears, Saints, Browns, Steelers, and Colts, Bills. And this is the order. People think that the Bears-Saints is the most likely blowout, then the Bucks next, then the Browns-Steelers, and then the Colts-Bills last.
Okay.
So, but I actually did a consensus. I was looking around a consensus, and I just got Seton's picks, too. The one team, except for Seton, that we all picked is the Bucks, but Seton picked Washington. Okay. But I think that would be a safe bet, that we can all sort of get behind Tom Brady, unless Seton really objects.
Are you betting on the Bucks to cover?
Yes.
Okay. Seton, are you in on the Bucks covering against Washington?
Do I have to change my pick?
Well, it has to be a consensus if you guys are all...
I don't think
are
we
you
have
want
another,
to go rogue?
We don't have another consensus pick.
Well, then why don't you guys bet against Seton? Seton puts up 100, and then you guys...
you guys plus 750.
And then you guys put up 100, and Seton puts up 100.
See some points, buy some points.
Yeah.
So Seton will get Washington, and he puts up 100. You guys put up a total of 100. Fritzy, are you in on this?
Yeah, if the other guys are in, I'm in. 100, I thought 100 a person was a little high for me for betting.
Six-point teaser.
Okay, just make it interesting. If not, then
I'll
let's
do that.
Move on.
I'll put up $100.
I know, but it's nobody cares if you guys just say, well, I'll take Tampa to cover. There's nothing at stake here. Nobody cares.
By the way, a dime does not mean a dime.
A dime is 1,000. You don't want to do a dime.
A dime is 10 hundreds?
Yes.
Dang!
Yeah, you don't want to do a dime. Well, in your world, it might mean something else. It's not...
That's $10. Yeah. Nice and easy.
Yeah. Todd,
is there a VIG involved? I'm still trying to figure out.
No, there's no VIG.
You should take the VIG, Dan. You're the house.
No, I don't want any part of this.
You're encouraging us to be a part.
Todd, do you want to tap out?
I don't want to tap out. Okay. I was thinking more like 20 each would be a more reasonable bet before we get too crazy.
All right. Okay, so Seton is putting up 60, and then you guys collectively are putting up 60.
That's how we roll.
Wow. That is really great radio.
Yeah,
thanks,
I got my
$100
guys. Right here. If
okay,
you
we'll offer you, how about... Seton has to put up 20, and we'll give him 60 on the money line. So we'll give him 3-1 odds, which is about accurate. We'll give him the money line. How about he takes Washington to win?
Wait, he gets points.
That's not enough action for me.
Yeah. Well, I gave him the 3-1 money line odds, which you noted is pretty low, right?
Yeah, but he doesn't want the money line. He said he's taking Washington and the points. This was a bad.
Seton wants to parlay it with the Seahawks game.
This is a bad idea. It is. There has to be risk reward here.
Chance of like losing our homes or cars. How far? What's the risk?
$100. They're squeaky.
That's right. I'd like to take all of your homes.
Yes.
Put up your firstborn child.
Okay,
not the first.
I'm in. Paul, are you in?
For how much?
Apparently, we're all putting up less money.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good for whatever the bet is.
Wow. Falling asleep on us.
If you're in your car and you're hearing this, hey, these guys are going to place a bet. Oh, how much? I don't know, $20? This is Seton's first bet. He's willing to put up a hundy. All right, last call. You guys want to do it or not?
Oh, yeah.
I've just wasted all this time.
We're in.
Okay. So Seton's got Washington and how many points, Seton?
I don't know.
That's how much of a sport he is. He's not even sure what the points bet is, and he's throwing his $100 out there.
Okay. How many points is he getting? What are you getting? 6.5, 7?
8.5.
You got to turn on your microphone, McLovin.
I'm seeing 8.5 on mybookie.com, but it's all over the place. Different casinos are closer to 7. That's your call.
Go with the line that you usually go with, Paul.
I'm betting that on Monday we'll have no recollection of what the bet was and nothing will happen.
No, we will. We will. After you've put me through this, we will. All right, so Seton's got... check with whatever your bookie is in Vegas.
Will do.
All right. And then Seton's got that, and it's for $100. I apologize to the audience. Ed in Texas. Hey, Ed.
Morning, guys. How are y'all?
No, we're great.
Beautiful. Yeah, from wonderful Bahar County. Anyway, I just wanted to relate my last experience, the game that broke me from bookie betting. It was 1993, Houston Oilers, Buffalo Bills playoff game.
Oh.
ooh, and I had it straight up, and I had it teased. And, yeah, that broke me right there.
All it takes is one of those. We always hear when people win, and you rarely hear when people lose. Because I have friends who bet, and, you know, Bad Larry, my buddy, Bad Larry always tells me when he wins. I said, man, it's amazing, Bad Larry. Still drive the same car, live in the same house, wearing the same clothes, and you're winning all these bets. Pretty amazing. But he always wins and apparently never loses. Andrew in Atlanta. Hey, Andrew, what's on your mind?
Good morning, Dan and Danettes.
Good morning.
Glad to be on the first time, long time, 5'10", and a 80 pounds down, 240, COVID.
All right.
Thank you, sirs. I want to throw out a parlay for the Danettes.
Oh, no. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
No, we're doing this. Indy in the points. Seattle to cover. Baltimore to cover. And New Orleans to cover. And I want nothing to do with Tampa and Washington or Cleveland and Pittsburgh.
Okay.
At all.
I'll leave it up to the Danettes if they want to go together on a parlay. A four-team parlay, by the way. And thank you, Andrew. Yes, McClellan.
I was curious why he doesn't want to touch those two games, the ones that we were talking about. That's a Washington one, the one we focus on.
Yeah, there's something odd, though, about that. It feels like Washington doesn't know who their quarterback is. Brady is coming to town, and, you know, should it be double-digit favorites here? And then you have Cleveland, where you don't have Kevin Stefanski there, but I think Cleveland might be a better team than Pittsburgh right now. Doesn't mean they win. But without your head coach, you know, obviously it's a big loss because he's also your play caller. Yeah, Paul.
According to my guy, Montreal Max, who handles the betting, Tampa Bay's given 8 points as of right now.
All right, that's the line. Seton gets 8 points and Washington. Yes, McLovin.
Also, these injuries, like you were talking about, Devin White being awesome for Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Everyone's saying Roquan Smith in Chicago, he's the one who covers Kamara. Like, that makes it even harder. That's why I hate this so much.
If Alex Smith starts opposite Tom Brady, it will be the oldest combined age of opposing starting quarterbacks in a playoff game all time. Brady's 43, and Alex Smith is 36. So that'd be a combo platter of 80 years and 41 days as of Saturday, if those two square off against one another. Square off against one another.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, bop, bop. Stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
Bop. I don't know if there's any more updates on the Browns, their situation with their facility closed down and, you know, the next round of testing there. And it seems like it's quieted down considerably there with the Cleveland Browns. But just something to keep an eye on, you know, with these teams as they head into the weekend. I mean, this has just been unprecedented times. I mentioned last hour that Ohio State will get COVID results. There's testing this morning. I don't know when the tests are, but I was told yesterday they have close to 20 positive tests already for COVID. A couple of their defensive linemen, they have tested positive. Ohio State / the Big Ten did reach out to see if they could postpone the national title game. I don't know when that was, if it was yesterday or the day before. But I was told that they were denied. The SEC said no. But they were looking at, you know, the number of players they're going to have available. They're inching closer and closer to that number that, you know, they don't know if they're going to have the availability numbers that they need. That's why they're asking for a delay. Yeah, Paul.
According to the Cleveland Plain Dealer, just an hour ago, they said that the past 2 days, the Browns have not been able to practice at all. And they have COVID test results are expected now, basically. And once they get those tests in, they'll give those tests to the NFL, and they're hoping the NFL will approve the Browns having a full practice today. But as of now, nothing.
And that's the other part of this. Just trying to get together to hold a practice. You can only do so much via Zoom. But to try to get in the facility, to get everybody together, and, you know, now you don't even have your head coach. Phil in Indiana is back with us. Good morning, Phil. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dan, always a pleasure to be with you. I wanted to get your thoughts on Urban Meyer, but real quick, a proud WVU grad here. And yes, a dime did mean something different in Morgantown, just to let you know. As far as Urban Meyer, Dan, you know, I'm looking saying when you're a college coach, it's easy for Urban Meyer to get 4- and 5-star guys. If you're coaching Jacksonville, it's a business, Dan. I don't know if you necessarily are going to recruit the same talent you would there as you would if you were running a show in college. So
yeah.
Happy weekend to you, Dan.
Thank you, Phil. You too. Yeah, you can't outwork people as far as, you know, Dabo Swinney is as good a recruiter as there is. Maybe the best recruiter you have. But I remove that in the NFL. Unless you're recruiting some of your former players to, as a free agent, to come and play for you. But it's all about money. Now, that's what it comes down to. You'll see guys and you'll go, why did he end up on that team? And then you go, oh, they paid him this. Sometimes you have to pay them more to come and play for your team. But Urban Meyer can't outwork you in that position. You know, can I outthink you when it comes to game plan strategizing? Yes. But Urban was a great recruiter as well. Yeah, Paul, or McLevin.
What about Urban's, like, offensive genius? Like, he was such so way ahead on all that spread stuff. Is that all already arrived in the NFL, or will he have an advantage still to surprise people?
I don't know if he has an advantage, and if he does, it doesn't seem like it would be a lot. You know, when you're at Florida and you're at Ohio State and you have those talented players around you, suddenly your offensive scheme seems a whole lot more dangerous. I was always amazed with what happened at Texas Tech. Because Mike Leach, when he was there, what he was doing, you had quarterbacks who weren't going to play in the NFL. Graham Harrell could throw for 7,000 yards. And, you know, but what you were seeing wasn't going to translate to the NFL. But he had a system, a scheme. But we've had this down through the years. There have been a lot of great offensive, you know, Mouse Davis, a lot of June Jones, a lot of great offensive-minded people. And eventually the pros come in and borrow that. Or flat out steal it. I don't know what Urban did at Florida. And Urban brought speed to Ohio State. Because I went to that national title game when Ohio State played Florida. And there was a completely different speed on Florida's side of the ball than there was Ohio State. It's the same thing with Alabama against Notre Dame. Notre Dame wanted to get stronger. They wanted to win the game in the trenches. They wanted to have, you know, more imposing, better offense and defensive line, and they've done that. They just don't have perimeter speed. And if you don't have perimeter speed, you're not going to beat Alabama. And that was the difference. The perimeter speed for Alabama is off the charts, and that's why it's really hard to stay with them. You know, Ohio State, can they run the football? Can they put up points? You're going to have to put up probably 35 points, if not more, to win this game. But I would look at the secondary for Ohio State. And that hasn't been a great secondary. And now you get Jalen Waddle back probably for the national title game. It's that perimeter speed where you go until you see it. And watching Florida in person, and I've told you this many times, watching Usain Bolt run in person is a whole lot different than watching him on TV. Because now you're looking at it and watching somebody run past you as opposed to TV frames it where, oh, it looks like running really fast. You watch somebody go by you and you go, no, he's really, really running fast. Yeah, Paul.
Dan, you're right, because Urban Meyer did that when he got to Florida. Remember he brought in like Percy Harvin, Rishay Caldwell, and guys like that, and they were a wide receiver-led team.
Yeah. You know, he had weapons. Now you think about it, what Urban had at both of those schools. And you know, part of the genius is to be able to collect that talent. And then what do you do when you have that talent? And he's been able to do that. But, you know, going to Jacksonville, you're not recruiting. You got to have the capologist. You have to have a really experienced GM. Like that, they can't have one of those newbies who's a GM. You got to get somebody who's done it before to be able to help him, because he has to worry about what that product is on the field. He can't be worried about, hey, you know, we're going to take a cap hit, or can we squeeze this guy in, or how much money can we offer him? He wants to know, here are the ingredients, now make the meal. Not, you got to go out and finagle prices here on the ingredients. But when he does, He's always been successful. Take a break. More phone calls coming up. We'll talk to the Vikings' Adam Thielen. He'll stop by coming up a little bit later on here on the Dan Patrick Show.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
If you're watching on Peacock, we were just showing a video when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar came into our old man cave. And it's so surreal because I have this little basketball court, and here's Kareem in there. And, you know, you just go, Kareem is in our man cave, standing next to the wall of morale, and Fritzy's shooting hook shots over Kareem.
Beyond surreal moment.
I know. He was a good sport, but he's one of the more challenging interviews I've ever done because he's very bright, and you're trying to figure out where I can go with him because he's not a small talk guy, but he's got really great thoughts, big thoughts on a lot of different things. But I'm trying to figure out, man, where do I go here? And once I got in, and we actually talked baseball and Jackie Robinson and his love for the Brooklyn Dodgers, and he wanted to be a first baseman. Like, he didn't want to talk basketball. A lot of times when you have somebody on, they don't want to talk about what they do well. And that was the challenge with Kareem. But I think he's the most dominating player who's ever played the game. I think he changed the game. And to have him in, and you talk about a lot of different issues with him, like, part of you just wants to go, let's just talk. Like, I would talk to Charles Barkley. But you just go, let's just talk. Let's have fun. Like, who did you hate? You know, who's the guy you love to face? But Kareem doesn't, that's not how you engage with Kareem. Not that he wouldn't answer, I just don't think he would have fun. And that's part of the, you know, when you have that back and forth with somebody, that's where you have a conversation, not an interview. And that's always my goal. I wanted to have a conversation with Kareem. Yeah, Paul.
There's other guests that when we're getting ready to have them in the studio, we're like, we're not sure what we're going to get from this person because they have a rep. Remember the actor Billy Bob Thornton? He has a rep for being difficult in interviews. That's all we knew, except for his acting career. He came in studio. He was super fun, super nice to everybody. He told us all those great stories about Bad Santa and being passed out. And he, like, stuck around afterwards and hung out. But they come in sometimes with a rep, and you're like, what are we getting to get here?
Well, he walked in, and he was smaller, slighter than I thought. But he was dressed like a rock star. And there, he had this presence about him. When he walked in, you're like, whoa, okay. And then, you know, we started talking a little bit about St. Louis Cardinals baseball. Like, I have to really do research on some of these people. We do research, but other times you're like, I got to get a nugget. Like, I got to get something that says to that person, I did my homework on you. And I forget what I brought up, but it was sort of I think I brought up music. And I thought, I'm trying to think if I brought up Dwight Yoakam. I think he's buddies with Dwight Yoakam, the country singer. And I brought up a song, what is it, A Million Miles to Nowhere?
Yeah, 1,000 Miles to Nowhere.
1,000 Miles. And it's a wonderful song. It's a great song. But Billy Bob Thornton started talking music, and then I'm like, okay, I'm off to the races here. Yeah, Paul.
And what happens usually with that is then when you start talking acting, he's cool. Because later he talked about Monsters Ball, and he goes, you know, Dan, I almost passed on that. You didn't ask him. He volunteered it.
Yeah.
And because he was loose from talking about this stuff.
Yeah, that's where it feels like if you pass the test, then they let you in. And then he said, you know, the Bad Santa, he goes, you know, I said, you know, you fell. He goes, no, I was drunk. Like I got hammered, you know, I'm doing all these takes. Next thing I know, I'm actually falling. And they use that take on Bad Santa. Hammered. Here's some numbers here I did not know of. Now, we opened the show. We were talking about Deshaun Watson. If I'm the Texans, I don't trade him unless somebody makes me a stupid offer. Players with at least 4,800 passing yards and completing 70% of their passes in a season. This is all time. Drew Brees, Deshaun Watson. That's it. 4,800 yards. And Deshaun Watson doesn't have weapons. Deshaun Watson quietly had a spectacular season this year. And he wants out. I can't trade him. unless you say I get three number one picks, and because go back and look at the drafts, and McLevin, you would probably have the numbers on this. When Philadelphia moved up for Carson Wentz, when the Rams moved up for Jared Goff, when Washington moved up for RG3, the market has been set, it feels like. And now I get a guy who is proven. RG3, Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, they weren't proven. Deshaun Watson's one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL. I don't know if you could offer up enough. I don't know if a team could do that, where they go, we're going to give you, we got three number ones this year, and we're going to give you number one the following year and number one the following year after that. Like, I don't know what the Jets could give, the 49ers could give. Who are some other teams? And these are the teams where I think you could see him. You know, just Jacksonville, number one pick, and then what else are you going to give up for Deshaun Watson? Yeah, McLevin.
Niners, people have rumored that the Niners would want it. But let me guess, the Jags would not be part of this. Like, they don't call, say, hey, we'll give you the Trevor Lawrence pick. That seems too much, right?
No, I think this is agent-driven. I truly think it's agent-driven. Where an agent, now I don't know his agent, but I just, it feels like you go, you know, I'd be talking to somebody and, yeah, you know, Deshaun, he's not happy. I mean, he's not happy. And they said he was going to be involved in the coaching decisions and personnel decisions, and but he wasn't. You know, they're not bringing in Eric Bieniemy, but I still would not trade him. Now, he has a no-trade clause, but that's his no-trade clause. So he can say, look, I don't want to go anywhere. Because you could find – Jacksonville could go, we're going to give you number one pick and then Deshaun's going to go, no, I ain't going there. But if you said San Francisco, if I put him in Kyle Shanahan's offense and San Francisco's healthy, I put San Francisco in the Super Bowl. He's that much of an upgrade. All right, more phone calls coming up. Final hour of this Meat Friday. We got a chicken pot pie and we have a blueberry pie. Todd will take the latter to the face. And Adam Thielen, the Vikings wide receiver, stops by as well. Dan Patrick Show.